Here we are. We're in 2020. 2020. Can you believe it? Seems like just yesterday we were all worried about Y2K. It was all coming to an end. I remember we were in Shipshawana for retreat the fall before the year 2000. And in the little dry goods store they had there, it said, there will be no returns, talking about returns or exchanges of merchandise, on January 1st of the year 2000. I guess there were all those people up in Shipshawana that were ready for the big crash, you know. But hey, we made it. And here we are now at 2020. And you all are looking good. I'm glad you're here in church this morning. Welcome you all. Whether or not, I talked about this last week, whether or not you make New Year's resolutions, I do. And I do because of one big reason, and that is because as I look at January 1st each year, I have an opportunity for a new beginning, you know, a new beginning. I was talking to some of our folks before church and said, are you excited about 2020? No. Do you want to go back to 2019? No. Well, what do you want? I just want to go to bed. So if you see people nodding off in the service, I gave those people permission. After the worship, you can go back to sleep, okay? So you got your wish in 2020. Every day, this is my focus for 2020, is that we experience God. And if you look at the top of your bulletin, experience God every day. Say it with me. Every day. Let's say it again. Every day. Every relationship. Every conversation. This is for Pastor Jim. Every social media interaction, every day, every relationship, every conversation, every social media interaction, that we just invite Jesus and God's presence to be with us in all those moments. And I have it listed here because I wanted you to see the scripture. Every thought, every thought. Would you read this scripture with me off the back of your bulletin? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Jesus. Every thought captive. Can you imagine if we did that? Before we said something, before we did something, before we grabbed our wallet and started to spend something, before we looked at that other driver in traffic, before we had that conversation with a spouse, a child, a parent, a coworker, co-labor, whatever it is, our neighbor, that we just said, you know, I want to take this idea that's in my brain right now, and I want to bring that thing, and I want to make it obedient to Jesus. So when I say it, I won't have to wish later that I didn't say it. Anybody ever say something and they wish later they didn't say it? Anybody ever do something and they wish later they didn't do it? Maybe you've even thought something later on. Why did I even think that crazy thought? This is a year of experiencing God. Amen. And I think the first thing we have to do is understand that in every one of these areas, I'm going to bring it to Jesus. Can I tell you this? You're in control. Amen. You're in control. Yes, what you say, what you think, what you do, you're in control. Amen. Now, I know that we believe definitely in the sovereignty and the divine work of God in our world. And he gets the last word for sure. But in between now and then, you and I make a lot of choices. And my goal for us this year as the church, as we've talked about hashtag better together in 2019, that in 2020, we're going to experience God. We're going to experience. How do we do that? Well, you see the passage from last week, John 15:5. How do we do this? Let's read that together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is a powerful, powerful truth. And as I look at that, I understand, jumping back to verse 1, in this principle, is in this vine branches relationship, that God himself is the vine dresser, that God himself is the one that cares for the vine, that cares for the branches. We have a hymn in our hymnal, if you want to look at it quickly. We're not going to sing it, but you're welcome to look at the words. It's number 107. We don't sing it much in church, probably haven't for a long time. It's probably a good prayer meeting song to sing. And by the way, Wednesday night, we're getting back on track with that at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. Hymn number 107, it says, God will take care of you. That's this principle of him being the vine dresser. Can I ask you, do we believe that God will take care of us?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Do we believe that? I mean, we as Christians, that should be our mantra, that God's going to take care of me. He's going to take, and this song just says it, whatever has happening, whatever be tied. Now, I know we don't talk that way in these days. That was written over 100 years ago. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. We just understand in John chapter 15, the principle is this. He is the vine dresser. He will take care of us. Our responsibility is to take care of this, and to take care of this, and to take care of these, you know, and of course these and these. We have choices. We have choices. And I believe that God will take care of us. In verse 3 of John 15, talks about how in Jesus we're clean. I love that. Jesus is talking to his disciples. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You're cleansed because of the word. Are we listening to the word? We'll talk about that more in a little bit. And then this is in verse 5, apart from Jesus, we're toast. And I love this picture. Thank you, my brother Fritz. Apart from Jesus, we're lost. We're lost. It's the same word we get the word bereaved from. During this time of year, we think of people that are no longer with us. We love them. We miss them. We grieve. And if we're apart from Jesus, it's just that same painful feeling. Yes. I can't have enough stuff in my life to coast without Jesus. And I brought this up last week. It hit me right before I brought the sermon that morning. Was not only do we feel sorry because we miss them and we love them, we feel sorry apart from those people because they loved us. They loved us. So here we are now in 2020, and the goal this year is to experience God. Now, a prerequisite to experiencing God is this, is that I must know him. I know that sounds so basic, it sounds so simple, but it's so true. I must know him. We have these Bibles, and I think we've pretty much given most all of them out, but it gives you a simple plan as you walk through the tabs about how to know Jesus. It says in tab 1, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we have tried to do this life on our own without Jesus, and all of us, Paul said it, we've lost. We're lost. We're lost without him. And then you go to the second tab, and it says this, the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news of the gospel, that we don't have to stay lost. We don't have to stay in sin. And the third thing says this, God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So back in our horrible, lowly, sinful state, Jesus went to the cross and died for us. Yeah. You know, one of the things that just blows my mind is when Jesus was on the cross looking down, he said this, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. That is a powerful statement. And then it goes on and it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not by your works, that you may boast. Now there's a lot of work we need to do for Jesus after we get saved, but our works don't get us saved. All right, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart. This is Romans 10, 9 and 10, one of my favorite verses. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's with the heart the person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And then the last part is living as that believer. Now in this, though, I want to just share from this particular little translation, 1 Corinthians 2:14. When you're tempted to get frustrated and you wonder, why do people around me, why are they behaving the way they behave? When I try to live for Jesus and they're just not getting it. Well, the Bible just tells us, these people around us, it says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. It says here, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So please don't get upset with people who don't know Jesus. Pray for them. Just love and reach out and pray for them. Sometimes, and this is part of that Pastor Jim needs to watch every statement and thought on social media, part of that is when I see friends of mine that are on there and they're just blowing it up with all kinds of anger and frustration and vitriol, I just want to just post, hey, love you, been thinking about you, praying for you, or I just say, love you, miss you. And that's what people need, because they don't understand the God of this world and the God that is the God who's bringing a new world and all these things that are going to happen in this whole idea of a new heaven and a new earth. They don't have their antenna up to receive that. So don't hate these folks. Love these folks all the more. And if they hate you, love them. Love them. We'll pray that they get this Jesus thing, this Jesus thing. Now, let's go ahead and fill in these little blanks here. Right underneath it, with that scripture we talked about, in it says Christianity is more than a religion. It's a relationship with a person. That's what our faith is all about. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's religion plus. Can I just tell you that? Religion plus. It's a relationship. And if you want to find out more about what we're going to talk about throughout this year, there's a book entitled Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. There's a 365-day annual devotional guide you can get. Just look up Experiencing God. It'll start showing up all over Amazon. You can buy these things and follow along. We will loosely follow the book. But I love this concept of knowing and a relationship with Jesus. There's an old song that chorus, more of you, I've had all, but what I need is more of you. Things I've had my fill, but Lord, I hunger still. Empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer. I need more of you. And that's what this is all about. Let's look at these and fill in these little bullet points. Hearing. When God speaks to us, we can hear. God wants to speak. And I had so much fun when Fritz sent me this PowerPoint for today. Each one of these bullet points, you'll see the goal, you know. And I just want to, maybe I just take a moment every time one of those goals shows up and say, thankfully, the Patriots didn't make it. Okay, we'll just move forward from that. Okay, so first of all, the first bullet point is this: hearing. I mean, we can all agree on that. You know, so we got Colts fans, Bears fans, maybe a Bengal fan, I don't know, a few Cowboy fans, but we can all agree that we're glad the Patriots aren't in it. Okay, hearing when God speaks to us. We can hear when God speaks to us. The second thing is this: we can clearly identify his activity in my life. We can hear when he speaks, and we can identify his work in my life. This is true. We don't have to aimlessly just wander through life and say, well, you know, God, I know you got this taken care of. Just when you need me, just send up a sign. It's more than sending up a sign. We can clearly identify when he's working in our lives. We can also believe him to be and do everything he promised. He wants to do in us everything he promised. Promises in God's word are not specifically set for those in the Old Testament. I love the scripture today from Isaiah. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. That wasn't just for those people. That's for us people. And the same thing as you get into the New Testament, it gets even more exciting, because we'll get to that in a minute. He'll do everything he promised. And again, one other thing he wants to do is he wants to adjust my beliefs. He wants to adjust my character and my behavior. My beliefs, character, and my behavior. God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Can I just say that? He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Same loves me too much to leave me the way I am. Adjust my beliefs, my character, my behavior to him and to his ways. Isn't that awesome? That gets me excited. Another thing is, we can recognize the direction he's taking me in life. We can recognize how he's directing my life along the way. All these songs, I just feel like everything needs a song, but I'm not going to go to that one, okay? That song would be He Abides, okay? But that's just for later if you want to look it up in the hymnal. Recognize the direction. Then I can clearly know how I am to respond. Not only does he speak, not only does he mold and shape my life, but he gives me wisdom and insight to know how I can respond. There we are back to that thing I talked about with your New Year's resolution of every thought, every conversation, every social media interaction, everything in my life directed by him. As a result of that, I can experience God every step along the journey. That's really the bottom line, is to experience Jesus every step along the journey. A couple things I want to tell you this morning in making this application now, okay? And you see those in your outline. The first one is this: the Holy Spirit is our guide. That is so cool. Don't miss that. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our guide. If you have a Bible handy, I'll just grab this one right here because it's handy. John 14, 26 tells us about that. John 14, 26 says, if you want to turn there, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. I want to read that again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, there's two words I want to highlight in that scripture. The first word is teach, and the second word is remember. The first word, teach, okay? Now, we've got teachers in here. We've got retired teachers in here. We have people who have made teachers retire that are in here this morning. We understand what teaching is all about, okay? So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, teaching, we get the original word for teaching in the Greek is, I'll pronounce it here, didasko, which basically means learn. Isn't that interesting? The word in the original language for teach is the word learn. Well, what we're saying here is it's one thing to teach a subject. And you ever hear people talk about, you know, it's like we're cramming for the final. You know, my dad, who's now 90 years old, he used to talk about when he first got in to walk with Jesus and getting into church. He was in his late 60s. It became real. It became a relationship instead of just a religion. He was the real deal. And Dad used to start joking in his late 60s. He's now 90. He said, well, you know those people that are going to church that are older than I am. I said, yeah, Dad. He said, well, they're just cramming for the final. That was his statement. They were cramming for the final. Dad still has a lot of funny things and some that I'm not able to share in church. But, you know, when you get to be 90, I think there's maybe a little lid that just comes off and you can just start saying crazy, crazy things. You can blame it on other issues in your life. But anyway, but the issue of teaching, okay, learning, teaching, is it's more than just knowledge. It's more than just I've memorized these many verses, or it's more than just I've read my Bible through. I know an evangelist that goes through his Bible like every month. He's on the road. He's got it on his iPad or iPod, and it's like every month he's just going through the whole Bible. It's awesome. But the question is this: is it learning, teaching, learning? Are we applying it? Is it getting involved and ingrained in my life? And the Holy Spirit wants to be the teacher to make that happen. Now the second word, which is to remember, it's exciting to think about this. He wants to remind us. He wants to put it in our memory. He wants to bring it up again and again and again. Remembrance is more than just, we read that yesterday, the Holy Spirit reminded me yesterday, I need to take care of that in my life. It's like as we go through yesterday and today and tomorrow, what we learned yesterday, he'll help us remember that today. What we learned today, he'll help us remember that tomorrow. What we learned tomorrow, oh, by the way, he's going to remind us what we learned yesterday. All these things, the Holy Spirit is teaching, reminding. And believe me, I don't see the Holy Spirit as the one that says, did you clean up your room? Did you pick up after yourself? Are those your dishes? Did you leave the spoon under the couch? You know, things like that. It's sure, but it's so much more Amen. Than just somebody trying to catch you in the act of doing wrong. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is there to teach us in a way that lines us back up with those things we filled in those bullet points a while ago. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our guide. The second thing is this, and this is like one of my favorite scriptures, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is the map. Okay? I know there's a cartoon that talks about, I'm the map. Jesus is the map when it comes to Jesus seeking his direction in our life. In John chapter 14, if you're familiar with that passage and the context, there's all this stuff that's happened. Jesus has just told them at the beginning of that chapter, chapter 14, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He is giving his farewell speech. He's giving his transitional from his earthly, fleshly kingdom to the next phase. He's opening up their eyes to what's going to happen next. They're all questioning and probably confused. But I love in verse 6 when he just lays this out. He says, guys, listen. I am, and they're asking, well, are you going to show us the way? Are you the one? Should we look for somebody else? And they just keep these random questions. He says, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Jesus just lays it out. He says, I want you just to get this. If you understand, for us in 2020, experiencing God, this idea that keep that always at the forefront. John 14:6, Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's say that together. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One more time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus. Holy Spirit's our guide. Jesus is our map, okay? The first thing we see is he is the way. He's the way. The way. In the original language, the way, it did talk about take this way, go that way. But it was so much more than just a geographical thing. The way, in fact, in the New Testament or in the early century, first century, followers of Jesus were known as people of the way. They were people of the way. They were taking this to heart. They were taking it to mind. And in the original language, or at hodos or hodos, it's this idea. It's a manner of thinking. It's a manner of feeling. It's a manner of deciding. In other words, if you are going to be part of the way, if you're going to be part of the way, you're going to have a mindset that is focused on Jesus. And Jesus just said, he says, I am, meaning Jesus. Jesus, reflecting his heavenly Father. I am. Jesus is the way. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of feeling. And my decisions are based on that. I don't spend much time in our church, maybe we will in some certain weeks ahead, talking about tithing, talking about giving, talking about the fact that the first 10%, just, I had a conversation the other day in the locker room at the Y, a good friend of mine, Tim, he's like, you ever talk to your people about tithing? I said, well, not much really. He said, well, do you ever think about tithing on the net or tithing on the gross? He said, my wife and I were having this very important discussion on how do you tithe? Do you tithe on the net? I thought, I never think about that. It's just like the first 10%, go, just give it. One of our first churches, our treasurer, Harold Pence was his name. Harold, wonderful, godly man. Him and his wife, Doreen. Doreen was it first grade or kindergarten? First grade teacher. Oh, I wish I had had her in first grade instead of the teacher I had. But anyway, because she was like Bonnie Kaufman. You know, she's just like, oh, you know, just so wonderful and kind and sweet. And Doreen just always had kind and wonderful things to say about our kids. But Harold was the treasurer of that church. And Harold took the job. The pastor who was there at the time asked him if he would just fill in for a year. And he said, Jim, that was 26 years ago. And Harold was still the treasurer. And one time we were talking about the offerings and the church and the budget and stuff. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I've discovered this. When Doreen and I started tithing, God made that 90% go so much further than when I had the whole 100% to myself. I thought that was really good. And there's no rule that says 10% has to be it. You know, that's just kind of an Old Testament law. Paul goes on in the New Testament and says, man, God loves a generous, cheerful, hilarious giver. Just in fact, Paul just deals with this idea of giving it all, you know. So this idea of giving. We don't have to talk. It's just a mindset. It's just the way we think. It's just the way we're wired now in Jesus. Because when I'm in Jesus and I understand Jesus is the way, all of a sudden my mind is being transformed into this new thing where I'm not the center of the universe, but Jesus is the center of the universe. And with Jesus at the center of the universe, well, why not, Jesus? You gave me this to start with. You know, why not give in the offering? Why not tithe? Why not give generously? Why not give to missions? Why not, you know, Jerry's getting ready to do care kits this next month. Why not just take several bags? Because Jesus, you've given me everything. It's just the way of our life. And then the second thing he says, and I hope this will get with you this morning, because we need to hear this one. He's the way and he is the truth. Yes. Truth. Not merely the idea of somebody tells the truth, but truth in the respect that it is the reality of our life. Truth in the moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man, straightforwardness, this idea of that my life is driven to where it's not so much about the stuff or the performance, but all about the idea that it's a sincere dependence, my mind, my integrity. All these things are based on his word and his direction in my life. My life is living in harmony with his word. this reality. It's reflecting God's nature in my life. It's interesting in John chapter 18, just a few chapters later, Jesus has this encounter with Pilate, going back and forth, trial here, trial there, like six different trials, official, unofficial, between the night of and the next morning, the crucifixion. Night of arrest and crucifixion. He goes before Pilate in John chapter 18. Pilate is the governor of that area, that province. And of course, his responsibility was to make sure that for back in Rome, everything was going well. The last thing a Roman governor ever wanted was a problem, you know? They didn't want any problems. Back in Rome, it's like collect the money, make sure the people don't rebel. That's the two things you have to do. Just collect the money, they don't rebel. And so there's Pilate, and he's trying, but this skirmish, which is more than just a skirmish, is happening. And they bring Jesus, he's arrested, and Pilate looks at him and he says, well, tell me about you. I hear they're telling me, these religious leaders are telling me that you are the king of the Jews. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, now does that idea belong to you or did somebody else tell you about me? Pilate looks back and says, Am I a Jew? Your own people have handed you over. What? Tell me about this. What is it you've done? And then Jesus opens up the gap or the story to Pilate. And he says, here's the story, Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. My ideas, my teaching, my servants, all these people that I'm ministering with or training or mentoring, it's a different world we're talking about. Because if it were all about this world, they would be leading a revolt against you right now, Pilate. But my kingdom is different than that. It's in another place. And so Jesus, or Pilate looks at Jesus, does that mean that you're the king? He said, well, you have said that. But he said, the reason I was born into this world, and listen carefully to these words from Jesus, the reason I came into this world was to testify to the truth. Look at that in John 18. It's about verse 37. I came to testify to the truth. That's what Jesus came to do. In the midst of what was happening, think about it for just a minute. You had the Jews, and they were working so much to hold on to what they saw as the truth revealed in the Old Testament, which really wasn't all finished yet. But that's what the laws that they were following and all the restrictions and regulations. And then you had the Romans who were just trying to keep the peace but get the money. And all these things were going on. And Jesus comes right in the middle of that. He says, you know what? I'm not here to establish me on a throne somewhere. I'm here to testify to the truth. And then he says this, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Oh, Jesus is the truth. And then Pilate, kind of in a flippant, says, well, what is truth? And he goes out, says, hey, I have no cause against this Jesus. And then the Jews do the stupid thing they did and said, we'll take Barabbas. Let us have Barabbas. You kill Jesus. We have courtrooms. We have law libraries. We have news reports. All kinds of outlets that are desperately trying to present you and me with the truth. When I was a kid, some of you remember him, Walter Cronkite, close out the news every day and he'd say, well, that's the way it is. I'm Walter Cronkite. Good night. Jesus comes along. Guess what he says? He is the truth. Amen. That's why I'm taking less time this year, and I'm backing out of different news outlets and so worried about this, that, and the other. He's the truth. So as we walk through this year, remember this. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. And then I love this last one. He is the life. The way, the truth, the life. Two different words. I remember we've talked about this before. Jeremiah Bullock does it better than I do. The difference between bios and zoe. Bios is all about the biology, like the nuts and bolts, the blood, the flesh, the bones, all that stuff. Zoe is the spirit. Zoe. The spirit of a person. The absolute fullness of life. Essential, ethical. This part that belongs to God. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, it's like with a football team, you know, those three phases they always talk about. You got offense, defense, special teams. That's the three biggies in football, okay? Offense, defense, special teams. Jesus comes along and says, this is it. This is the three-phase explanation of this kingdom. Way, truth, life. This idea that he's pouring his very spirit into you and me as human beings. Ah, it goes all the way back to Genesis 1. It goes all the way back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where the Spirit of God is poured into you and me. And when we come to Jesus, it all comes to life. It's just like it blows up. It's exciting. It's wonderful. Yeah. And you know what? We don't need to look anywhere else. My friend, good friend of mine, I saw him right after around Thanksgiving time. Terry Roediger says this: If it's written in red, do what it said. If you've got a King James or another version of the Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, that's what Terry was talking about. If Jesus says do it, do it. That's when I talked to Terry. I said, Terry, how you doing? What do you think? What does the? I always like to ask him, does the Lord have a word that he's spoken to you that you can give to me? And he just tells me again and again, if Jesus said it, do it. If Jesus said it, do it. Experience. If you do everything Jesus tells you to do, one step at a time, every day, every thought, every conversation, every social media interaction, every relationship, if you do all that stuff Jesus tells you to do, people ask this question, well, how do I know to be in God's will? How do I know if this is what God's plan for my life is? If you do all these things, you will be in the center of God's will for your life. Is that you can be there. It doesn't have to be a scratch your head kind of thing. I'm confused. I don't know. Should I take up this business? Should I do that? Just every day, just commit that I want to experience God. Every day. I want to invite you this morning. And just with our heads bowed and eyes closed, to just ask the question, how much are you experiencing God in your life? How much are you experiencing His presence? And as you experience Him, are you sensing a pull in your heart to tell others about that experience? To live life in such a way that's attractive to others, to where they say, you know what, whatever you're doing in your life, there's something there, and I need that in my life. My prayer is for each of us, myself first, but for each of us, that people will look at us and say, what is that? I whether they ask the question or not, what is that in your life? I need that in my life. They're not jealous of us. They're not mad at us. They're just curious. Are we experiencing God, first of all? And second of all, are others experiencing Him because of us? That's the two part one question today. Would you stand with me? And let's just have a continuing attitude of prayer. Would you like to come and pray this morning? Just say, Jim, it's 2020 and I want to experience more of God in my life. I just need to know the Holy Spirit's my guide and Jesus is my map. And you want to come pray about that today. I just want to know, Jim, that as I come and pray today, and especially Jesus, as I come and pray, that when I take time to read my Bible or devotional book, that you're going to meet with me. I just want to know that. This morning, you can come and pray, and God will give you assurance, I promise, that if you're seeking Him, it says in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We will find Him when we seek Him. You're invited to come and pray. Say, Jim, I just need to experience God. I don't need to experience any more drama from anyone else for any reason. I just need to experience more of God. There used to be a statement I heard people say, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. I'm looking for some people like that. I believe that if we're heavenly minded, we're going to be of earthly value, great earthly value. How's your experience with Jesus? You're invited to come pray about that. If you want to sit on the front pew or kneel at the altar, that's fine. I know Gay Sparks asked me to anoint her on behalf of her family today, and we're going to do that as well. And maybe you'd like us to anoint you. If you want to, just kind of kneel beside Gay. We'll anoint you as well. Maybe today you're like, you know, Jim, I'm experiencing God, but I need others. I want others to know about this experience. You want to come and pray for somebody else. Children, grandchildren, neighbors, other relatives that you just want to, man, I just want them to experience God too. This is an awesome thing. I want others to get in on it. You can come and pray for them today. Jesus, we commit this time to you. We know that, Lord, more than anything else, that for this life and for eternity, it's all about knowing you. Knowing you. So, Jesus, today we commit our hearts and our lives. We commit 2020 to you, that we would experience you. Father, I just want to pray this before we anoint Gay as well. Lord, I just pray that as Pastor Dan talked about next Sunday night, that would be one of those experiences. At that concert, that evening of praise, that evening of generations coming together and experiencing you, that it truly would be a catalyst, an event that just says, you know what, not only Jesus are you welcome, we want you to do something in us moving forward. So, Father, we pray for that night. We commit that night to you right now. Just pray that your hand would be on. Lord, we also pray today for our folks that are looking to launch the work in Daleville. We know that's coming up the first Sunday in February, and we just felt prompted to pray for them. For Pastor Jill and all those that are talking and praying and seeking you toward launching a work in Daleville, Jesus, we pray for them today that you would bless and give them interest, people around them to be interested, to be excited, to be curious, to want to come and learn and find out and see your kingdom come, your will be done in Daleville as it is in heaven. We pray that over East Central Indiana today, Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. May we truly experience you. May we experience you. May you be more of our conversation than what's happening around the world. May you be more of our conversation than what's happening in our country. Even the weather, may you be more of our conversation, Jesus. We want to experience you. We're going to take a moment. We're going to anoint Gail. And I'm just thankful for Gay coming this morning and on behalf of her dad and Martha as well. And Jesus, we just want to pray for Gay. Yes. We know that she is so concerned. She's so concerned for her dad. She's so concerned for Martha. Jesus, there's just some stuff that's there that's just breaking your heart. And it didn't happen just this last week, Lord. It's been happening for a while. And Jesus, we know that Gay brings it back to you again and again. And here she is today. And as the oil is on her head, Jesus, may that just be a sign that your Holy Spirit is present. It's symbolic. But may it also be a reality that your Spirit is present and that you're going to speak into Marlon's heart and mind and Martha's heart and mind. And you're going to bring your kingdom in that situation. And the problem they're facing, the decisions that have to be made, and be with Ken and Gay as they have to make some decisions as well.
Yes.
Because sometimes, Lord, our folks can be stubborn. Our parents can be stubborn.
Yes.
And sometimes we joke and we say, well, that's just a Ballinger thing. They're just known for being stubborn, or Harris thing, or whatever they want to. You just put your name and your family in the blank, and you can call them that, you know? But Jesus, we just pray that there would be a softening in Marlon and Martha's heart.
Yes, Jesus.
And that you would give Gay and that you would give Ken wisdom.
Yes.
And Jesus, give them the fortitude that they need to step up.
Yes, Lord.
And Jesus, bring healing in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's never easy. No easy solution on these family things. Never. In any family. Mm-hmm. Bless them, we pray. Mm-hmm. Work, we pray. May you be glorified, we pray.
Yes.
And Father, for all these other needs at the altar today, Jesus, we just lift them to you. And we thank you that you hear us and you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated.